Hi, thanks for tuning in, and welcome to EHS This Week, the weekly podcast covering all the latest and greatest in health and safety for the week of June 19th. My name is Jason D., as usual, your mediocre host, and I'm here with our product marketing manager from Intellex, Allison Grenke. You want to say hello?
Hi there, everyone.
And it's been an absolutely fascinating week in our world this week, but we'll start with some interesting news. This month is actually the FlySafe campaign is being run this month by the FAA. And FAA Deputy Administrator Mike Whitaker officially kicked off the FlySafe campaign earlier this month at the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, a conference with a bit of a presentation with some interesting facts and a presentation on loss of control, or LOC. So loss of control is actually any accident involving an unintended departure of an aircraft from controlled flight, and it can happen because aircraft enters a flight regime that's outside of normal, or you know, perhaps has extenuating circumstance and ends up in an unfortunate stall or spin situation. And there's some interesting facts that that Whitaker presented, such as approximately 450 people are killed each year in these types of accidents, which is an oddly shocking number. And in fact, there's one fatal accident involving loss of control every 4 days. So I suppose that speaks to not only safety, but you know, I guess statistically, we do fly quite a lot more than I guess I realize personally.
Those are the kinds of stats you don't really want to think about either.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly as safety professionals, you know, we can, and I encourage us to look at these facts as you know, kind of targets for improvement. And in this case, improvement in the world of loss of control and various ways that you can sort of mitigate against that risk by better preparing or guarding against accidents involving maneuvering of flights and planes. So apologize for a bit of that downer, but it is Flight Safety Month, and that was presented by the FAA.
They've got a lot of great resources, I think, too, as part of this campaign. So if anyone is interested, they should check out the website.
Yes, absolutely. And in arguably equally downer of a note, but infinitely more fascinating, to be honest, Pope Francis actually just this week published his latest encyclical, and he's brought upon himself actually a very healthy dialogue, and we think it's a very important dialogue, around the topic of climate change and you know, collectively our all of our responsibilities in impacting climate change. Allison, do you want to give us maybe a brief synopsis of what the Pope presented?
Sure. First, I think it's kind of cool to just talk about what an encyclical even is. I'm not Catholic, so it's kind of interesting to understand. They're not considered infallible, but it's a very, very important document that a pope can release. And it's, I think there's something like more than 300 published encyclicals concerning spiritual matters like faith and charity. But then popes in the past have also started to speak out about environmental issues, and that's exactly what Pope Francis has done with this one. He's basically addressing Catholic followers, but he's also hoping that his letter will reach a wider audience. So that could be really world leaders who are meeting for several key environmental summits this year. And he's really just saying, I think that we all need to step up and take some serious responsibility for what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's an absolutely fascinating and frankly bold position that Pope Francis has taken. First of all, kind of acknowledging science and sort of, you know, encouraging the world, frankly, not just Catholics, to acknowledge and recognize what science is showing us and has proved, which is, you know, our collective impact on climate change. But he's also taking an interesting, you know, religious slash moral or even just human approach to why it's important to us. You know, he lays out in fairly, you know, stark fashion how, you know, it's unfortunate that it's really us in the first world, the richest of the world, that are having the biggest negative impact into climate change in terms of CO2 emissions and whatnot. But the people who will feel the brunt of climate change, in fact, are the poorest around the world, in the emerging nations and in the third world. So not only is he upfront recognizing kind of the power and the insight of science and data, etc., but he's also taking a, you know, a moral stance of, you know, is that right? Is that right that the rich are really, you know, creating a future impending negative situation for the poor? By that same token, you know, he's starting to not only kick off what we feel is, you know, very important dialogue, but as you can imagine, he's getting a bit of backlash as well, with people, you know, frankly quite shocked that a religious leader is, you know, talking about science. You know, a great quote that I heard was, you know, he's not a scientist. He's the Pope. Why is he talking about science? Which kind of clouds the conversation, I think.
One thing that we were laughing about in the office earlier this week was a trailer, a fake trailer, right? It's playfully sort of hyperbolic. And they're talking about Pope Francis taking on the industry. And, you know, he says very dramatic things like, it's time to take out the trash. And there's an oil and gas company executive, presumably, looking very evil, wearing a patch over his eye, you know, all the stereotypes you could possibly think of. Very funny, got us talking for sure. But it's also, it's interesting to see these sort of dynamics playing out of trying to cast villains and leaders and heroes when really, you know, the reality is it's far more of a complex conversation than that. And I think that that's what we're all realizing as we're leading up to COP21 in Paris this year, that this is a conversation that's got so many different sides to it, so many different dimensions.
Yeah, absolutely. And at a minimum, you know, we encourage you as listeners to do a bit of a Google search, maybe get some synopsis summaries of the Pope's encyclical. It's a very important conversation that we should all be having. And, you know, kudos to him for taking a fairly, you know, objective view on things and recognizing the different elements, as well as the, you know, exceptional complexity of the topic.
For sure. I think that also kind of leads into a bit of an update from the oil and gas industry, what they've been doing this month. There's been a lot of climate change talk in the oil and gas industry. It seems like they're getting actively more involved in the debate as the governments, activists, churches, and some big investors as well are gearing up for this global summit. So that's COP21 that I mentioned earlier. COP stands for Conference of Parties. It's an annual meeting, and it's essentially the international political response to climate change. It began in 1992. So this conference, though, is very high stakes. They're expected to attract close to 50,000 participants, including 25,000 official delegates, and they're trying to come to a legally binding agreement on emissions reduction. So the oil and gas industry is looking at that. They're seeing a lot of big changes ahead. And some of the resource companies' own shareholders are pressuring them to scale back on their dependence on carbon-based fuel. There's a lot of uncertainty right now when it comes to what the regulatory landscape for these resource companies is going to look like 10 years from now. But I think what's not uncertain is that it is going to look drastically different than it looks today. And so investors are worried what the financial impact of that will be.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, what we expect is this week was a big week in news and happenings when it comes to EHS and, in this case, environmental issues. Stay tuned as we'll keep you up to date on the latest and greatest as we expect that this is just the beginning of what will begin to happen.
Absolutely.
So thank you again for joining us this week on EHS This Week. Allison, do you have any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
Have a safe weekend, everyone.